Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. Now and live.
Just 7 days after we did a, I'm not going to call it a breaking news video because it's hard to say it's breaking news when it happened a couple of days ago, but 7 days after we did a bonus podcast about the release of Bray Wyatt, we are here again with more upsetting news that we felt like we needed to talk about as a bonus episode of the WrestleTalk podcast 1 week before we head back into the office for our big SummerSlam streamiest party of the summer celebration. But today, Ollie, it doesn't really feel like much that there's much to celebrate about, because on Friday, WWE, during SmackDown no less, released a load of people. Like, they released 13 wrestlers from NXT, from their developmental brand. And then over the weekend, there's been various reports going around. The most crucial one coming yesterday from Dave Meltzer on Wrestling Observer Radio, who said that big changes were coming to NXT. Long story short, if you haven't seen any of the news, if you are coming to this a bit fresh, the main story is they're lost to AEW. Vince is a bit mad about that. And so it's not being the NXT that it has been for the last 5 years. It's going back to what NXT was supposed to be when it was sort of first envisioned in 2013. What did you make of all of this news?
Yeah, it's sad. It's sad. It wasn't until, you know, because I'm an AEW mark, you said that no one's happy about this. I am AEW one. Woo!
Yeah.
Send me, please transfer the appropriate amount of Khan coin into my wallet online, please, Tone.
Not the Nick Khan coin that you earn with your Raw reviews.
Oh, but they know each other. It's all part of a larger conspiracy.
It's a big work.
Yeah. When I saw the news, you know, obviously the news that anyone's losing their jobs, it's like this sort of mixture of sadness, and then you see the names on there. A lot of the guys are like, yeah, that makes sense. It's of no surprise. It should really be of no surprise to us, because we've been saying it for years. WWE is cynically signing loads of talent from all around the world, more than they need, to take them away from other promotions. And yeah, they should be letting people go. So like that part. But then you see some of the names like Bronson Reed, Bobby Fish, and you're like, what is going on? It's like utter confusion. And then couple that with the idea that NXT, that it's because that is a version of NXT, that is a style of wrestling that WWE is no longer interested in putting on for the black and gold brand. And yeah, it made me feel sad for those days when there was no AEW. That 2013-14 through to 2019, I guess, period, before they moved to USA, really, that saved me from being from giving up on WWE altogether. Some all-time great rivalries. Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn. Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano. All those takeovers.
DIY.
the Revival DIY, the Revival American Alpha, like every era of NXT, it's fascinating to see these classes, how that promotion changed and really did create something by itself. And I wonder how much AEW has to pay in debt to NXT. I was sad. I was sad, even though I gave up on NXT a long time ago, if I'm being truthful, because it just does not excite me in the slightest. I've had my heart broken enough times with failed call-ups. Like, how can you get excited about a promotion where none of them become the next big thing? The whole selling point of NXT was they're going to get pushed on the main roster.
That's the problem, is that none of the people that they signed were ever going to main event WrestleMania. None of the people that they signed to NXT during this whole, like, let's recruit everyone from the indies, none of them were never going to be able to sell out buildings. They were never going to be able to headline WrestleMania. So that's why they're cutting them. That's why you shouldn't get excited.
So Daniel Bryan is obviously someone who is on the more smaller side of stature and literally main evented this year's WrestleMania.
It's an anomaly. He got lucky. It was lightning in a bottle. It's the same. Do you know what, Ollie? It's the same with Adam Cole. Because, like, the idea is that no more midgets is apparently the edict for NXT. It's like, we're cutting all these people, no more midgets. What about Adam Cole? Well, Adam Cole is different because we don't want him going to AEW. So he's a different case. There's always an anomaly within this. Daniel Bryan is one of those anomalies. CM Punk is another anomaly. Adam Cole is a different anomaly.
So I guess, like, because what we think, NXT is not being cancelled as a name, but the reports are it's getting a logo change. It's going to get a format overhaul, which puts the fear of God in me. Like, what do you mean format overhaul? Like, it's not going to... All wrestling shows have the same format unless it's a talent show style game show. Yeah, and we've had that version of NXT. I don't know what they're thinking about there, even if they are going down that route. But what we're mourning here is a style of wrestling. The soul of a wrestling company looks like it's going to pass. It's something that a lot of people here, because, you know, it is sort of a style that definitely appeals to viewers of this channel and adult men of a certain age, really, 18 to 45, those are the big demographics. That modern style of wrestling with attention to detail, great characters, long-term storytelling. Like, people say, oh, I want the Ruthless Aggression era to come back, or I want the Attitude era to come back. But, like, the best wrestling product, really, is this style of coherent, well-thought-out wrestling. And WWE have effectively said, we don't want it for Raw. Okay. We don't want it for SmackDown. Yeah, that makes sense. That's the main roster. But now they don't even want that for NXT.
Yeah, like, you and I were there for NXT TakeOver London, which was like 2015, which, you know, when you kind of think about it, is still like the early doors of when NXT was this revolution, the revolution that Triple H kept talking about. The stuff. This is like back in the day, Triple H was still opening every NXT takeover to do the "We are NXT," line, which they stopped doing after a while. Like, the lights go down and everything. And some people thought it was a bit corny. Some people really enjoyed it in this and the other. But, like, you know, we were there. I quite liked it as well. But we were there for that London show. And there genuinely felt like there was sort of like buzz around the building. That's like, this is a really, really cool product. When you and I first started doing these shows together, NXT was the show that we really enjoyed watching. It was the show we really enjoyed talking about. We enjoyed doing takeover reviews and this and the other. When, like, the main roster wasn't all that great, it was like, well, there was always NXT. But NXT was supposed to be developmental. It was supposed to find the next group of stars that you could take to the main roster who would then become the next generation of top. Your next John Cena's, your next Roman, your next Randy Orton's, and all that sort of stuff. That's what NXT was designed to be. Somewhere along the way, I wonder where Triple H sort of lost sight of that. And it's instead became about, like, well, we need to stop Ring of Honor, because there was a period of time when Ring of Honor wasn't selling 1,000 tickets, they were sending a handful of 100 tickets. But now, Kenny, the Bucks, Cody, et al. Are now selling out 6,500 seat buildings. And New Japan's coming across to the US as well. And they're selling out all their buildings really quickly as well. All in's a thing. So it's like, well, now what we need to do is just get all of that talent and just squash that dead now. Let's just squash that at the source, take all of that talent there, and we'll put them into this brand here. And we'll create like the Super Indie Show, which is essentially what NXT became. And you know what? As a wrestling fan, it were bloody brilliant because we got some of the best like wrestling shows possible, because we got like all the best of TNA, the best of Ring of Honor, the best of New Japan, the best of this, the best of that, all coming together. But then they have to go to the main roster where they aren't interested in that. So all of a sudden, the main roster is then just full of a load of lads that don't get over, lads and lasses that don't get over. And NXT is just full of people that they're now releasing. And Vince has got a mindset. Vince is like, no. Big guys sell tickets. It's what happens in the 1980s. 40 years ago is when it worked. I'm sure it'll work again.
But I don't... Even that has holes in. Because Dominik Dijakovic, Keith Lee, these are tall people.
You've got to be a specific type of big man, I guess. You got to be able to cut promos and all that sort of gabbins. Like, I don't know, man.
You're not going to find this person. It's like Vince McMahon is the 45-year-old woman who's just waiting for Mr. Right. You know, they don't exist. He's got this idealized concept, it seems, in his head, which is some mishmash of 80s steroid body physique and late 90s attitude era charisma. But like that's not the world anymore. The wrestling art form has moved on. This is the frustrating thing, because NXT has not died on its own. What's the word to say this? NXT's style of wrestling could have worked if the call-ups were treated better.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's the crux of this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. If, like, the NXT, if, like, Finn Balor had gone to the main roster and it was a success there, if Shinsuke Nakamura had gone there and was a success, Bobby Roode, Aleister Black, Andrade, just sort of, like, going through the list of NXT champions that we've had in the past, if they'd have gone to the main roster and also become WWE champion, then I don't think there would have been this disconnect. But what happened was all of them went to the main roster, got sort of semi-pushes, and then Vince was like, they're too small, they can't cut a promo, they're not this, they're not that, they're not the other. And then they just become mid-card fodder. And so what WWE is now is just a load of mid-card guys and then one or two top stars.
Mm. Mid-card is generous. It's like they've got an upper undercard and then they've got Roman.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like.
That's a fair way to put it, yeah.
So I just don't know, like, what version of this works? Because someone pointed out in the comments of the WrestleTalk news today that when viewership was declining at the tail end of the Ruthless Aggression era in the mid-noughties, the same thing happened. Vince went to sort of, was it OVW or somewhere?
It'd been like OVW at the time, I would have thought, before it became FCW.
Yeah, and he recruited people like Heidenreich, you know, these big guys, and it didn't work. The thing that saved WWE from just an eternity of Randy Orton and John Cena matches in the late noughties was CM Punk and Daniel Bryan and Seth Rollins, the former Tyler Black of Ring of Honor. So all these people who are sort of pushing the art form forward in a modern style, but he keeps on looking back to the past. But a past that didn't even exist properly.
Again, Ollie, they're anomalies, I guess. Like, I'm Pritchard-ing this situation. I really do appreciate that. But like, that is, I guess that's the mindset though, right? It's because you and that comment hit the nail on the head. All of those big lads that were there in the mid-noughties, awful business. It was just like putting on dreadful big man matches and it was just really bad television. But the guys that people were starting to really get behind were the people that were moving everything onwards, moving it to the next phase of professional wrestling. But I guess Vince is just that, well, no, it worked once. It'll work again. And I can make it work again. I know what to do with a big guy. I don't know what to do with a CM Punk. I don't know what to do with a Daniel Bryan. I don't know what to do. I mean, I think they figure they've kind of got Seth Rollins, but like, you know, maybe because he does CrossFit with Vince or something. but I know what to do with a big guy. I know how to push that. But like Trevor Dame, who's an excellent Twitter account that I recommend people follow, he made a brilliant point yesterday. If all you're ever breeding from NXT is big guys, then those big guys don't feel special because all they are just big guys. If it's a load of people who are 6'5" and it's just 6'5" guys against 6'5" guys, they're going to look the same size. It doesn't matter if they could be 10 foot tall. They're the same size. But if someone is 7 foot tall, someone is 5'10", someone's 6'8", someone's this, someone, it's variety. And then all of a sudden, if you've got smaller guys, those bigger guys feel different.
I actually push back against this because I think this is quite an easy. Because what are you saying? Like, if you've got a roster of big guys, no one looks big?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, if
like, you've got a referee. There's a referee right there. There's an announcer.
But they
team.
Are both the
There's
same
the ring
size.
Ropes. There's turnbuckles. Yeah, but that's like that. There is definitely a huge 80s audience for big, that just big guys getting in the ring, and those sort of like reptilian brain responses to seeing two big guys is still there. You can have very low talented people get, if they're large enough and they get in the ring at the same time in a rumble or a tag match, people go, "Hey up. These two guys are really big and they might hit each other."
Which we
still happens today.
And I was going to make the argument for Amos at WrestleMania. We were like, we've been making fun of Amos and WWE's pushing Amos. It was like, look how tall he is, because it's a very Vince thing to do, right? When he got into that tag match at WrestleMania, all of us in that live show were like, bloody hell, he is tall though, isn't he? Crikey, he's
tall. Business just picked up. Yeah.
Business just picked up. He's tall. Problem is, Dave, if you do that in every single match, then Amos doesn't feel special anymore because everyone's the same size as him.
The referee's not the same size. Okay. And how many more times I have to say this? You can see they're big.
They're not fighting the referee, though.
The interviewers are down here.
At be one smaller, point, just, Kevin Patrick.
It'll just be Kevin Patrick's arm. Coming up from the bottom of the shot to interview people. It's, yeah, well, I think we're all in agreement that this is not the solution to WWE's ratings decline. Well, the thing is that they're actually in quite a good, healthy business state right now. They're making more money than ever. The ticket sales are going well, although that is, you know, quite provably John Cena's influence.
Oh, yeah.
And they are in for a rude awakening at the end of the summer when he goes on to film The Marine 23. And they don't have any actual draws to sell tickets to their live events. I think that, look, Vince hasn't had the proper back up against the wall moment yet because he's not turning to something genuinely new.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. So I was just reading some of the comments there, and there, a lot of people were making the bringing up the whole like idea of, you know, people do the reactions to the big men. I push back on it because I think that, like, someone mentions the six-man tag. The crowd were really into Hager versus Wardlow.
Exactly.
But yeah, it's a six-man tag. But if all of the six men were Jake Hager and Wardlow, you wouldn't have that moment because all six of them are the same.
Easy to say in a company of vanilla midgets, though.
Well, that's it. And that's apparently it. So Meltzer said, and like, if you listen to Wrestling Observer Radio as well, which I highly recommend, I was listening to it yesterday while putting together some IKEA furniture. Meltzer starts saying something, and then he's like, hang on, I need to get the wording right here. And he starts fumbling around, clearly grabbing his phone to read the text message that had been sent. So he got this word for word. And the wording was, where is it? It's, we're looking for bigger, younger guys who can main event WrestleMania. No more midgets, no more starting in their 30s, looking for box office attractions.
Look, on the midgets thing, I think that's proven to be a ridiculous stance. However, I totally agree with the youth. Like, it's one of the things we all say. We've been saying it all year. WWE has a very aging roster. Like, so some of those episodes of Raw, like, the average age was 44 of the performers. And, like, that is not a good thing for a company. First, it's indicative that you're not creating new stars. Secondly, it will be very difficult for younger viewers to relate to anyone. So that's where AEW has a big strength there. They've got Jungle Boy, they've got Sammy Guevara, they've got MJF. People genuinely in their early 20s. That's what WWE needs right now. So I'm behind the younger performers thing. I think that's very smart. That's what NXT should do.
Exactly, yeah. And that's what, like, NXT is now going back to being this developmental show. We ask the question, what's next for NXT? That's what it is. It's going back to being FCW. It's not, from what I can gather, but it's on TV. But you know what? Like, you know, FCW was on certain, like, you know, smaller networks and stuff back in the day.
Not on the USA network, though.
But once that contract with USA runs out.
This isn't the WWE network.
But yeah, but once that contract runs out with USA, do you think like they're going to try and make the push to like re-get it like again? Like, you know, re-up the deal and the term that they've got? This show because WWE told them was going to do like massive ratings and then it didn't.
The 6 months before, they'll do a presentation and have a picture of Ronda Rousey in there and USA will go, yeah, all right then. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
We'll give
you
more money. I'm sorry. We don't know what we're doing because live television is crumbling before our eyes. Have a billion.
But we're spending more money than we ever have previously.
Yeah.
Like I totally get you. But like it's not going to be the NXT that people fell in love with by the sounds of things. Because like, you know, people that were after big guys, they cut Bronson Reed. And people were like, how can you cut Bronson Reed? And the argument is Bronson Reed is short. Yeah, he's big in his hench, but he's short. And that's one of the reasons why he was cut. Bobby was cut because he's too old. Mercedes Martinez cut because she's too old. And all the other people was like, well, we don't see anything in them. That visit that Vince and Pritchard and the other one, Johnny Ace, had to NXT was basically like, too small, too old, get them all cut.
Well, you can sympathize for Vince there because he's probably getting the sheets and he's got their kayfabe heights. He's like, oh, wow. I can't wait to see this 6 foot Adam Cole in the ring. 6 foot. I'll go down to 6 foot if the guy is charismatic enough. You get there and he's 5'8" in heels. You're like, ah, let's cut all these guys.
I mean, I'm also you and I have had this argument many times over. 5'8" isn't all that different from 6 foot.
It
really isn't. It's 4 inches difference. Like, that's not noticeable on TV.
You were just arguing with me about how height makes a difference.
And height does make a difference, but like what I'm saying is like
6'4" is a big difference.
That's why he
in hair.
But that's not claiming that he's 6'4". That would make him 8 inches in difference.
No, I'm just saying any increment of 4 inches, different.
Okay. But if it was someone who's 6'4" and someone who is 5'8", you'll notice a difference. If it's someone who's 6'4" and 6 foot, it's not that much of a difference.
It is.
It's really not. Like, it's the same thing. Yeah, and when you're looking down to me, it's like, they look the same thing. But if there's, like, nearly a foot difference between them, then there's something to be said about that. I don't know why we're arguing about Adam Cole. He's the anomaly. He's absolutely allowed to stay on the main roster, and we're not getting rid of him. I think he's going to stay. I think he'll stay.
He'll stay? No, I'm sort of leaning that way now as well. But do you think he is the anomaly? Do you really believe that Vince is going, you're my guy, I'm going to push you?
When you said, like, it was in the news today, it was like, apparently, like, the meeting went really well, Vince really liked him. I was like, well, of course Vince really liked him. Because Vince doesn't want him to go to the competition because they think that would be a bit of a blow. Like, another NXT champion has gone to the competition. He would see that as a blow. But he's got zero interest in pushing him as a WWE champion. He just doesn't want him to go to the competition. So, of course, he's going to glad hand him and say that, yeah, you're a nice, we've got big plans for your pal, Raw and SmackDown, buddy. Like, all the writers are making big, big plans for you. WrestleMania main event, balderdash. He's going to be a mid-card guy until either he leaves or he gets cut like Anderson and Gallows.
You know that trio, Vince McMahon, John Laurinaitis, Bruce Pritchard, when they visited the Performance Center. And there was a report that came out afterwards where everyone was actually quite nervous. And they're like, you said this, like, oh, no, they're coming. They've cut a lot of people recently. Are they just going to cut more people? And the day afterwards, everyone was like, what a breath of fresh air. Vince seems really interested. It was really good to have him meet the guys. First time he's been there. Awesome. And then obviously they were looking around like, cut, 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 change that logo. So, like, yeah, I don't know how anyone can put any faith. And I don't know how, like, you know, it's Adam Cole. He can make his own decisions. But I would not trust this company at all. I would. The only way I would trust the company is if it is legally written in a contract. And there's no way WWE are going to give him a degree of creative control.
No, absolutely not. I can't see that happening whatsoever. Like, yeah, if I'm someone who's in NXT, if I'm someone who's like potentially going to the main roster, I would be thinking like, you know, there's the story about a lot of people, like they're nervous about the future of the direction of NXT and where it's going and things like that. And also like what their job security is. Like, you know, they've cut 100 people in the last year and they've still got a barony. So like feels like they've got thousands still under contract. Can't see how anyone could think they were safe.
Well, I don't want to speculate on people's jobs. However, that is also what this episode is kind of about, because NXT is changing its what they look for in NXT. And you look at, like, this is the NXT roster right here. And if the new edict is for younger big guys and people like Bobby Fish and Bronson Reed have been cut because they're of a certain age, like, you look at this and you're like, but who's sticking around? Like, what role is Johnny Gargano going to play? One of the best wrestlers in the world in this new version of NXT. What role's Tommaso Ciampa going to play?
Yeah, you got to just look at like Oney Lorcan, Danny Burch. Pete Dunne is another one. Yeah, like none of these guys are like big guys, because that's not what NXT has been trying to push for the last 5 years, because instead they've been trying to compete against Ring of Honor and then AEW sort of 2019 onwards. So none of the guys that they have got that they are like are featured on the show are in this new edict. None of them are. None of them fit the bill.
Yeah, and it's not like we're not saying they're on the chopping block next. It's more that these guys are going to be very creatively unfulfilled. If their job is just going to become putting over the next ex-NFL star or the next amateur Olympic wrestler, like that, Johnny Gargano's not going to like that. Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa have often said in interviews that they do not want to go to the main roster. They see NXT as an equal brand. Like, this whole idea of being called up or going down, not a thing to them. And I believe they genuinely believe it, because I think that's what Triple H tells them all. That was certainly the story put over in Survivor Series 2019. When NXT won everything. Like, that, you know, and there was a big thing of, let's not call it developmental anymore. It's a third brand. Ciampa and Gargano's stances utterly crumble if it is now going to be called developmental. On Raw last month, they've stopped referring to Charlotte's NXT title win as a world title. Like, it's someone's just pointed out there that Gargano and Ciampa have done everything. That was Fight Game Ross. Like, this, what? I just don't see what they should, why they're there now.
205 Live. I mean, in fairness, 205 Live, 205 Live, have you seen the roster page for 205 Live, by the way?
It's probably not that much bigger.
I'll get it up for you. Hold on. Cut your sex tape. While we're doing that.
Three people. Good grief. Who are they wrestling? I thought Raw was repetitive.
Well, unfortunately, a lot of the people they were wrestling, like the featured matches, had people who had been released an hour earlier. So, yeah, if you go to the 205 Live page, I'm going to share my screen now. Share screen. Sorry, bear with me. This is currently on the on WWE.com, the 205 Live roster page.
Mark Andrews, isn't it?
Nigel McGuinness, who is a commentator, Brian Kendrick, who works backstage, Mark Andrews from NXT UK, and then these two guys. That's it. That's the 205 Live roster, according to WWE.com.
So on McGuinness and Andrews, this brings up a point which I want to make a larger point off the back of, and that is, what the hell's going to happen to NXT UK?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I've been saying this for months. Like, as soon as the cut started to happen, and it's this whole idea of budget cuts, and Nick Khan is really taking quite a ruthless approach to people they don't need, people who aren't bringing in money, even people who are bringing in money, like Bray Wyatt and all these Fiend merchandise. And I'm here looking at NXT UK's roster. For a one-hour show that's pre-recorded over 2 days once a month, I think, that nobody watches really on the network. And it's only fractionally smaller than the NXT roster itself.
Yep.
That like, I mean, so that the idea is that a lot speculation is that those people haven't been touched because the UK government is paying furloughs to people. And I imagine they might qualify for it if then, but then again, they also are doing the tapings. Yeah.
But also like, is there not an argument to be made? And I don't know about this, like, and this is pure speculation station for me, but I'm trying to put some things together in my head. Like WOS, which is why NXT UK is around, let's be honest here, is because WWE were afraid of this upstart UK promotion being on ITV and this and the other. So they started NXT UK to sign up all of that talent so that WOS would fail right out the gate. Like, was that like 3 years ago at this point? Like 2018-ish? Mm. Feels like it was. Because if that's the case, aren't they all like on those 3 year deals? Aren't they just waiting for them to run out? And then
September 2018.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe it's just a case of it's like there's just a load of them are on borrowed time. And I hope not. I don't, because I don't want anyone to lose their job. But it is just maybe they're just sort of waiting for those to run out, or maybe they don't even know that they're going to run out soon. They didn't know Adam Cole's was running out.
I don't know, like people get released regardless. Like it doesn't seem you've got this much time on your contract. Like they cut people willy-nilly. So yeah, I mean, I've been saying for months, NXT UK appears to be set for an iceberg, just the way everything else in WWE is playing out. And you know what? Like I don't care about that promotion. It ruined a British indie scene, a thriving British indie scene, which unfortunately, you know, a lot came out about later. So now that's morally complicated. But there was a thriving British scene where this country had some of the best wrestling in the world at an independent level. And a lot of promotions went under off the back of it because of these talent grabs. And initially it was a way to help people. Oh, but then they started pulling people from shows. Then, oh, you can't appear on this thing. Anyway. This was all part of Triple H's grand plan of creating an NXT UK, creating an NXT Japan, creating an NXT Mexico. These are like things that have been reportedly come out. WWE was actively pursuing these. And it was called localized globalization.
Global localization, I think it was.
Yeah. So this is Triple H's big business venture. And it's failed. And NXT has failed. And 205 Live is a failure. And Sin Cara, the original Sin Cara, was a failure. Like, Triple H, all of this really is developmental for Triple H to take over as a higher-ranking person in corporate WWE. And he's, like, there's no way that can happen now.
No, I mean, you can't do it. And NXT, I mean, the NXT, the global localization for NXT, I won't say it failed. Maybe it did fail at the first level because NXT UK has been a massive, like, that hasn't worked. Like, it didn't work. You and I went to the shows they did at the Royal Albert Hall where they had a lot of NXT towns on there that couldn't sell it out. Like, there was a lot of, like, space still there. Like, it is a brand that did not work. So the second hurdle was NXT Japan. And that failed right away because they wanted to do was just take over another company. So they would have all of the contracts already and just rebrand it to NXT Japan. And all the Japan companies were like, nah, ain't doing that. And then they couldn't start a new one. So that stopped there. So really this whole global localization thing has been really on the back burner since they moved to USA because then they had to compete with AEW. And I mean, let's put it this way. I think their plan of putting on the USA network to draw viewers away from Dynamite worked. And it's proven, you can say that completely worked because now it's only since now that they have been off Wednesday nights and AEW is there on its own that it's consistently doing over 1 million viewers. NXT, for that year and a bit that they were competing against them, actually worked in drawing away viewers from AEW. And like that's all of that localization, that like expansion stuff was put on the back burner to focus on this one war here.
It worked in that it, you know, took a chunk out of AEW's viewership, which, like you said, you can prove by how much AEW's ratings have shot up since. but it worked, but not enough. So that's still a failure. Mm-hmm. I saw someone comment today, like on the news, they said, oh, I just knew Vince would ruin NXT eventually. And remember, like we all said a couple back in 2019, October or September it was, as soon as NXT goes to the USA network, then Vince is just going to ruin it because his fingerprints will be all over it. We'll have a new presentation. It won't get to be what we know and love it as. When actually that didn't transpire. Vince was nowhere near it. Vince did not touch it. Vince didn't even watch it. Yet it still failed. Triple H's version of indie wrestling, two-hour weekly shows, did not work by a spectacular degree.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's the bit where Vince is stepping in. Like, he got a year and a half to make this work. That's longer than Paul Heyman got.
You could argue that he got 5 years to make it work. And that's the other thing with NXT is it's never made money. It's never made money. It was always a money loss, but it was about the end game because you were getting stars off the back of it. It didn't matter that it was losing money because it was competing against some other companies and it was like, you know, creating new stars. So, you know, it's had 5 or so years to make it work. And really, it didn't work. And he's had the luxury as well. I'm not trying to just dog on Triple H here, although it's going to sound like I am. He has had a luxury that no one else has had when running a wrestling promotion in the last 20 odd years or so. He's been able to have a rotating roster. Every year or so, he gets to completely refresh his roster because a load of them go off to NXT, a lot of them go off to the main roster or leave the company. So every year he's been able to have like, cool, there's the reset. And I've now got, here's 25 new names. And that's my 25 new names for the next class. And even then, it hasn't worked.
Now I'm saying this out loud, though. Would that have worked if those people then went on to become huge main roster successes?
And people were then like, I would argue as well, it probably would have helped if the main roster had ever promoted NXT and talked about, like, you know, when NXT stars come up, they don't get video, like they very rarely get video packs being like, here's the great things they did in NXT. By the way, watch NXT. It's on the same smegging network that we're on. You can watch it on Tuesday nights at this time. And they've never really felt like that. I've never felt like Raw and SmackDown have actively pushed it, except the exception of Survivor Series. And that only happened because of AEW.
They've happened because of Saudi Arabia.
Well, yeah, actually, you're right. It was AEW. They wanted to beat them in the ratings. And because they got stuck in Saudi Arabia, they had to be like, quick, do an NXT invasion. It's like fantasy booking warfare from me like a few years ago.
Yeah, and it was one of the best shows they've ever done, in my opinion, that Invasion one.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Have we got any chats to go through?
We have got some chats to go through. Yeah, Stephen Guzman said, I just can't get excited for NXT and haven't been able to for over 6 months. Can't enjoy the matches when it feels like a doomed brand. It's like watching a movie that you know is going to end badly. This sucks because NXT kept me a WWE fan. To 36, this is the end for me. Mayor of Painesville, wow. Dan says, hi guys, honestly, I'm so mad about this and disappointed. I should have known. When they moved to USA, the writing was on the wall. Still enjoy NXT, but man, the network era, it was perfection. I have so much to say, but this is not enough space.
I will push back on the whole idea of the network era being perfection. That's rose-tinted glasses. The takeovers certainly were. That is actually, I think, because AEW, I wouldn't put AEW's run of shows up against the consistent run of NXT takeovers for 4 years. Which were all five-star shows. Like, they were just extraordinary. Perfect, digestible, 2.5 hours, boom, boom, boom. But the weekly show on the network was pretty boring sometimes.
Yeah, when me and Laurie, like, our Patreon goal, like, one of our first Patreon goals we ever set was for me and Laurie to do NXT reviews. And there were times we would watch that show for an hour long, and it was, you know what? It was perfectly fine. It was a perfectly fine hour of television. But then me and Laurie would sit there and be like, well, what do we call this video? What do we talk about? Like, nothing happened. Yeah, it was fine and all, but man, there's absolutely nothing to talk about here. So I agree with you. Like, takeovers, always perfect. Like, the joke we had in the reviews that we used to do was, like, 1 out of 5 was, like, it will never get this score. Because it was always 5 out of 5. They were always, like, the best takeovers ever. Kevin says, I'm currently watching the Summer of Punk saga. The angle where Punk negotiates his new contract with Vince is baffling to watch, knowing it was 10 years ago. Especially the line, you don't know what makes a superstar in 2011. It's 2021, and he still doesn't.
Yeah.
You got Roman Reigns, right?
Eventually, come on.
Stephen Guzman said, also unrelated, how the hell is NXT UK? How in the hell NXT UK has not been affected by this? I think it probably will do. Bacon Rasher says, hi, lads. Firstly, is NXT, this should be an LIW podcast. Secondly, they don't work Mondays. Second, if you had to pick one, you would feel... if you had to pick one, would you always watch Raw, SmackDown, NXT, 205 Live, or Dynamite, Dark Elevation, and Rampage? So you have to watch Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and 205 Live, or would you rather watch Dynamite, Dark Elevation, and Rampage? It's AEW or after WWE, and I see the next takeover beating AEW, beating WWE.
AEW. I think it's not, yeah. Don't even have to think about that.
Although watching Dark, man, which I feel is like 4 hours long, feels like it might be a bit.
Tony Khan's going to edit it all now. It's okay.
Hopefully down. Hopefully he looks at it and be like, 4 hours? What were you thinking?
You're exporting the rough cut.
Matt Hennessy said, I hope the change doesn't affect guys like Gargano, Ciampa, Dunn, and others. Gargano is one of the few guys in WWE who can have 5-star matches. He has 5-star matches with Ciampa, Cole, Black, Andrade, and Ricochet. He's small, but he's also a once-in-a-generation performer. If only he was 6'4". Tenruza, if Adam Cole and others re-sign or sign for the first time with WWE, I immediately don't have sympathy for them. They surely know what it's going to be like. Got to use head, not heart with WWE going forward. Unless, of course, you think we'll be the ones to change them. I'll be the one that makes the difference.
And you see, I was listening to the Friday Night Observer with Garrett and Dave Meltzer, and Garrett pointed out Shawn Michaels was the guy that facilitated that change of WWE in the 90s from being the focus on the cartoonish, boring, repetitive, big guys to the Attitude Era. And, you know, who is more Shawn Michaels than Adam Cole?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
With Shawn Michaels kind of as his mentor in NXT.
So what you're saying is that he's probably going to take out AJ Styles, and him and Omos are going to be like the new two dudes with attitude. And like, and Omos can be his Diesel.
No. Triple H will come back because you need the, you know, Cena's off. So you need a big time star to come in. and he's going to reform DX with Adam Cole.
Bloody hell, that sounds like an awful idea.
And
because
they'll do that, but like that.
I was about to say, because you know what we'll say when we come to that Raw podcast? Like, why didn't you just bring up the Undisputed Era? Like, if this was your plan, just bring up the Undisputed Era. Why they didn't do that, I'll never know. Where did we get to? Manuel says, hey guys, first time in a long time. I know I won't do squat S word, but as soon as TakeOver 36 is over, I'm cancelling my Peacock subscription. I want nothing to do with this. Luke, this company. Kevin said, I'm so pissed I'm spending all my money. That Vince line, we might give them some talent, hits hard. I'm really excited for those big guys promoted and then released like Strowman or buried like Dijak. Seriously, this company. James Hanley said, the idea that they're only looking for people who can main event WrestleMania 2, Backlash 2, WrestleMania alone doesn't make sense either. Wrestling is predetermined. The main event is set up by the booker, not everyone can be in the main event. Wilson Simon said 4 inches isn't that big of a difference. Title of my sex tape. Zachary Chambers.
How did we not make that joke when we were talking about inches?
Zachary Jenkins. Hey guys, as you know, NXT is the brand that I'm holding on for to WWE because it's made me a mark and saved me, but I do not trust WWE's new version of it. Looks like I'm all elite now. Jam that jam. That's an interesting point. Do you think that all of this could lead those diehard NXT fans to AEW instead? Or do you think do you think that's an audience that doesn't exist?
I think they've already jumped over. You know, they're not going head to head anymore. The catch-up plays were always really big anyway. So I'm not sure how many people are watching NXT now and not also watching Dynamite. If NXT changes, I think if those people are still watching NXT now, they'll watch NXT regardless. And they'll also watch Raw. They'll also watch SmackDown. They might even watch 205 Live, heaven forbid. So they're WWE lifers. But we knew, I said the same thing about Zack Ryder. I said the same thing about Mark Henry. Those would be the most shocking talent transfers. Those fans. What I was going to say was, NXT, if it becomes another version of the main roster in the sort of talent that they're focusing on, but it's booked logically, because Triple H and Shawn Michaels and his team down there generally tell a far more coherent, intriguing, exciting story than the main roster.
Mm-hmm.
It might not be bad. It could actually be pretty good. It just won't be that style of wrestling that I think a lot of WWE fans want.
I completely agree with you on that one. Like, it might be, the stories are great. The in-ring work is not. So that Bruce Pritchard line is like, unfortunately, the bell has to ring. That's what we might end up with. It's not the five-star classic takeovers that we're used to. But the other side of it is like, maybe none of this ever really happens. Maybe it's just like Vince, like, change it, pal. And then Triple H, yeah, of course we will. And then doesn't. Because Vince isn't watching the product anyway. So, like, he could just tell him at board meeting. He's like, yeah, that's what I did, Dad. I did change it. Change it to what you wanted it to be.
You think Vince is going to win the title?
Oh, NXT? I mean, I've always made a bit play that Triple H should have won the NXT title at some point.
He really should. That would be so funny.
Yeah.
If the first champion is Triple H winning, I'm watching. But I legit am.
Yeah, but the problem is Triple H doesn't want to be a heel in NXT because he's Daddy Triple H. Mm-hmm. So I guess he'd have to win it off a heel. Maybe he's going to be the one to beat Karrion Kross. Everyone's like, who's going to be the person to rid it's not going to be Samoa Joe. It's Savior Triple H.
He should start to cement the heel turn. He should start taking the signing photo with people he's just fired.
Nicholas Lama. Nicholas Lama. With NXT going towards no more midgets, I truly don't see Adam Cole being successful anywhere in this company. No matter how much money they throw at him, if he's happy, then great. But as a fan, it will be sad to see. Mm-hmm. I can see him on SmackDown. Probably, I think he'll get like an Intercontinental title run for a bit.
Oh yeah.
And that'll be like the, see, we gave you what you wanted, pal. And then that's the extent of it.
Oh, you've got a multi-man match on a pay-per-view? Oh, you better believe Adam Cole's going to be in it. But no, he will never get an actual storyline.
He's Team SmackDown through and through. Always has been. Oh, yeah. Brand war, like brand loyalty.
He'll make it through to the final two, Luke.
Oh, yeah.
And then not get a storyline for 6 months.
Yeah, and then people will tell us in the comments, but they pushed him at Survivor Series. I don't know what you're talking about.
We did the same thing with Keith Lee. You get emotional blindness.
That's slightly different. They literally had him beat Randy Orton and put him in storylines, and they just stopped doing the storylines.
But everyone was telling us, look, the music's changed. He's in a different outfit, and we didn't want to listen to him. It's the same emotional blinkers.
What do we get to? Joe Strikes. Feel the talents enabled NXT. Everyone keeps accepting going to NXT first versus straight to the main roster like AJ. Does this mean Triple H only still has his job because he's Vince's boy, or who's really doing the rebranding?
I don't get the insinuation. What, Triple H is behind this change? I think Triple H has genuinely fallen in love with that style of wrestling.
Yeah. I think that, you know, I said this about Jericho a few weeks back on Dynamite when he had the match with Nick Gage. And I was like, yeah, well, that seems like the sort of thing Jericho would do, because Nick Gage was all like, it was the buzz off the back of the Dark Side of the Ring thing. It's like when he left WWE, the first person he attached himself to was Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks, people who were making like change. I think Triple H is also supposed to, like, I've seen that this style is like really getting over with marks. Mm. That's what we should be moving towards.
Yeah, like it started off as a cynical play. I'm going to take over the indies. Ha ha ha. But then I think somewhere along the line, he became a believer.
Yeah. Optimus Provost. But Keith Lee beat Randy Orton clean.
I know, but he was wearing a silly shirt.
With terrible music. Poor Keith. Stephen Webb. This company. I put up with a lot of crap from WWE over the years, but I'm done. I get all my recaps from you guys. Add my network subscription to your Patreon. I can no longer justify supporting such a gross company. Thanks again for teaching me, Smegan, Luke. Charles Berg said, changing NXT won't fix the problem. The problem is that when you go to the main roster, it's almost a guaranteed death of a character. So is it possible NXT doesn't profit because why care about wrestlers who inevitably be buried? Just a thought. Now, I made this point on a podcast. I can't remember what podcast it was, but someone said, what do you do to fix NXT? And I said, put Vince in charge. And what I meant by that was not put Vince in charge because Vince is a brilliant mind. My point was more, at least Vince is then watching the product and can take a character from one and move it to another thing. Because at the moment, Vince doesn't watch it. So what Vince gets is just a guy that he's never seen before. He's like, well, what do I do with this guy? And Triple H is like, well, I could show you NXT. He's like, haven't got time for that, pal. I've got a state rap and 20 laps to run. And then I might be able to get 15 minutes worth of sleep in. I'll figure it out. So like, if at least if Vince is across something, there might be consistent characters, maybe.
No, there's not consistent characterization on Raw week to week. Let alone between brands.
Some stupid punk said, I watched No Roll Bars this weekend and several jokes for Oli Davis but his deep love of bunny girls and such that Adam keyed us into. Somehow seems inappropriate on this stream, so I'll just say, support Wrestle Talk, support No Rolls Bars.
We should all be respectful for each other's kinks, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't kink shame.
That's okay.
Manuel Sufantes says, hey guys, would you agree perhaps the pandemic ruined NXT without real crowds? After TakeOver Portland, it all went downhill, and that was when the pandemic hit.
Definitely a part of it, cannot be ignored, of course. However, everyone adapted to the pandemic, whereas NXT's response to the pandemic was the Capitol Wrestling Center, which I actually quite like. But it's proven that, you know, a fake LED screen in a larger arena could change things up audience-wise. And getting real, like, big-scale audiences in there really, really helped too. So, yeah, they fumbled that as well. Why weren't they taping from the Thunderdome?
Well, that's for main roster stars, Vanilla Midgets.
I wouldn't have liked it, me personally, artistically, aesthetically, but it proved to draw in viewers. So why wouldn't you at least give it a try for a takeover, maybe?
DKC returns. How is Vince still stuck on the size thing when McGregor, Mayweather, and Pacquiao are the biggest names in combat sports? Unbelievable how out of touch they are. Yeah. Any thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, they're incredibly charismatic. But Vince doesn't watch other sports. He doesn't know who those people are, most likely.
Most likely, unless people tell him who they are. But yeah, any final thoughts you want to give to NXT or this sort of news and the releases and this and the other?
It's sad. If this comes to pass, of course, you know, these are reports over the weekend, but it does seem to have been something that's been in the works for a month at least, going back to that NXT Performance Center visit and the semen release. So it's sad. But it's something I fell out of love with a year and a half ago. And at the end of the day, it is just WWE cynically trying to do an impression of NXT. But for a while, that was all I had. And for that, I will mourn it. But I think this is now probably in the grand scheme of history, when we look back in 10 years at the big AEW WWE wars, this is a necessary step, a very important, noteworthy step that has to be taken to continue WWE's descent downwards. And only then, when they hit some ratings wall or some terrible live gate, or AEW finally beats Raw in the ratings, will Vince change his ideas and genuinely try something new.
Strong disagree. I think that when that eventually happens, Vince will double down even more and get more big guys in.
Oh.
It's
pay
the
Rock a lot of money.
It's what he goes back to. He's always fixated on certain things. That's the thing he's clearly fixated on. It worked 40 years ago. Surely it can work again.
But not always. You know, we had the Attitude Era born of this. We did, you know, that we can say, oh, they never really wanted to push him in regards to Brian and Punk. But they did. That spurred things up. The Shield, they were hardly these giant roided up freaks, were they?
Well, that's because they had Roman. It was Roman and two vanilla midgets, and Roman got them over.
But the whole narrative of Vince only pushes big guys when his back's against the wall is incorrect. Because there's been two very strong examples of it where he hasn't, and he's tried something new, but then ultimately does revert back.
Yeah. So I think that, I don't know, man. I feel like this is the course now. Like, if this is like, it's going to be going back to the big guy edict, I don't know. And maybe it works, maybe it doesn't work. I kind of feel like it probably won't. We've got a couple of other chats just before we get out of here. Bobby G said, hi lads, tinfoil hat. Do you think these cuts could be a way to get rid of contracts and possibly have NXT being a forbidden door for other organizations to work with, but not feel directly connected to WWE?
No.
And Dylan Diaz said, here's the deal. NXT is what got me back into wrestling. Then I found WrestleTalk. I love watching you guys. It's fun. Raw is bad. SmackDown is barely above water. WWE is finished. Now a full-time AEW watcher, including Dark, which is better than Raw. Well, let's see what happens. But we'll be back tomorrow with the Raw review. The two things that they have got announced for tomorrow is Goldberg is going to have a showdown with Bobby Lashley, and Charlotte Flair is going to have a showdown with Nikki A.S.H. So the two things that happened last week. Come on. Yeah. That'll turn this ship around. Thank you very much. I have been Luke Owen. That has been Oliver Davis. Jam that jam, everyone. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. Jam that jam. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.